So we are now on Makos Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph. We're at the fourth line of Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph. Again, I am going to mute everyone, but feel free to unmute when you have what to say, because I'm interested in what you have to say.
You muted yourself.
What? Oh, sorry. Sorry, Ken. Okay, so where we last left off, and my goal tonight is to study from Makos Daf Yudalet off in the third line until sort of about, if we get there, about 10 or 12 lines into Yudalet and Beis, because that's really one section. We saw there's a three-way machlokas, a three-way debate between Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yitzchak. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that if you have two punishments, you have a Mises based in punishment, and you have a Malkus punishment. Rabbi Akiva holds you don't get Malkus, you don't get lashes, you only get Mises based in. But if you have Malkus and Kares, then you would get Malkus. And we had about four theories last week discussing why this is so. Rabbi Yishmael says, no, you in all cases, if you have Malkus and Misa, you would get Malkus. If you have Malkus and Kares, you would get Malkus. And Rabbi Yitzchak is the most lenient when it comes to Malkus. He says, if you have Misa, a capital crime, and Malkus, so you only get Misa, you don't get Malkus. And also, if you have Kares and Malkus, then you don't get Malkus, you'd only get Kares. So just to, in other words, a practical difference between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Akiva, let's say you do work on Shabbos, right? If you do work on Yom Kippur. If you do work on Yom Kippur, the punishment is Kares and Malkus. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you would get both Malkus and you would get Kares if you don't do tshuva, if you don't repent. And according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you would only get Kares and you would not get Malkus. So we're going to discuss this debate between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Akiva. It's a little bit technical. It's about how they learn various psukim. Okay? So we're going to start now with the third line of Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph. Okay. So the Gemara says, again, if you have what to say, feel free to unmute. Fourth line. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Chai v'krisos bichlal hayu. The obligation of Crete, the liability of Kares was part of a category. So what category are we talking about? So we're talking about there's a whole bunch of punishments, arayos, forbidden arayos, forbidden relationships, and the punishment was Kares, and it said, it listed a whole bunch of arayos, and then afterwards it says, oh, and if you do this, you get Kares. So now, v'loma yatsas Kares bachol. So then the Torah went out of its way to say, and by the way, if you have a relationship with your sister, so then you get Kares. So the question is, why did it specify this? So Yitzchak says, v'loma yatsas Kares bachol. So ladudu b'kares v'loma malkus. It's to tell you that you only get Kares and not Malkus. And again, this is the classic case of, we saw this last week, just a quick review, that something, it's one of the drashos, that we, one of the exegetical principles through which we interpret the Torah, davar shahaya bichlal, something that was part of the general category, v'yatza b'daklal l'labed, and it left, and it was excluded. In other words, and you had a new, and you had some, it was excluded from the general rule, it comes to teach you something. Lo l'labed al-atzbo yatza, el l'labed al-klakul yatza. Doesn't only tell you something about that exclusion, but tells you something about the entire category. So what we're saying is that all the cases of arayos, you get Kares. Then it says, oh, but with your sister, you shouldn't, if someone has a relationship with their sister, then also they get Kares. So it comes to tell you that really, all, what's it coming to tell you? That achoso, your sister, if someone has a relationship with one sister, they get Kares and not Malkus. Not Kares in addition to Malkus, but Kares as opposed to Malkus. And not only the sister, but any of these arayos, you get Kares and not Malkus. That is Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding. So now what we need to do is we need to ask, well, what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan, and who are the Rabbanan? Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Kares Bachoso Labali. Why did the Torah repeat itself, the liability of Kares, if someone has relations with the sister? Well, what do you learn from it? Now, there's Rabbi Yitzchak has a cogent position. We're saying, teach you that you only get Kares and not Malkos. So what are the Rabbanah? The Rabbanah mean Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva say that you get Malkos, even in a situation with Kares. What do we learn from this? So the Gemara says, L'chalek. Comes L'chalek. It's to tell you that you, to divide it, to tell you that you get the prohibition if each prohibition of arayos is a separate punishment. This sort of reminds me, not exactly, but it sort of reminds me of the debate between, I think it's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nassan, when it comes to Shabbos, right? What malacha is specified when it comes to Shabbos?
Los Avaroesh,
right? The Torah says, don't do any work, and if you do work on Shabbos, there's the death penalty. And then in Parshas, is it Vayakel, I think? In Vayakel, the Torah,
Vayakel,
right? It says, Los Avaroesh b'chol moshvosecha b'yom haShabbos. Don't kindle a flame on Shabbos. Why did the Torah specify that malacha as opposed to any other malacha? Right? Why did it specify that malacha? We already said that you can't do malacha on Shabbos. So there's a debate as to whether that comes to tell you that, oh, by the way, it's not exactly parallel because it's only telling you about the malacha of Havara. Some want to say that Havara, kindling a flame, that's only a lav as opposed to the more serious punishment. And another opinion is that it comes to tell you that lechalik yatzas, to tell you that you get that there's a separate punishment. Like if you do multiple malachos, you're liable for a korban for each one. So that's called lechalik yatzas. It's similar. It's not exactly the same because according to the opinion that says havara lelav yatzas, it only tells you that only for havara is there a lav, but not for anything else. And here we're saying, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, it's to tell you that everything you get kares. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, it's lechalek. Uchti Rabbi Yochanan, it's like what Rabbi Yochanan said in Beseches Krisus. Don't Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan said the reason why the Mishnah mentions the number of the liabilities of Krisus is 36. Right? He says, you know, why I tell you that the number is 36? She'im asan kulam behelam echad. He says, because it wants to tell you that if you did all of them in one act of forgetfulness, you're liable for each one for a korban chatas, for each one. You might have thought that what? If I didn't realize about the prohibition of arayos, and then, right, someone didn't realize, and they did all of these arayos, they did all these sins, behelam echad. In other words, in one act of forgetfulness. They were not aware of this sin, of these sins. You did a whole bunch of them. Maybe it's only one act of forgetfulness, and therefore one korban. And we're saying, no, you're chayav for each and every one. Okay? And that is what Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel say. And they're saying that they learn that halacha from what? The fact that the Torah specifies the case of achoso comes to tell you for each category. That's the source. For each category, like achoso is one, and each category of arayos, you're chayav a separate korban if you do it b'shogeg unintentionally, even behelam echad, even in one act of forgetfulness. Now the Gemara says, so it's Rabbi Yitzchak, lechalik b'dalei. So how does Rabbi Yitzchak know this? Rabbi Yitzchak does not disagree. This is a rule that is agreed upon by everyone. Everyone agrees that if you do multiple sins of arayos in one act of forgetfulness, you are liable for a separate korban for each one. So where does he learn it from? He can't learn it from the same pasuk because he learns it to tell you kares and not malchus. So the Gemara says nafkalei mi ve'el isha benidas tumasa, and the pasuk continues lo sikrav legalos erva, because the pasuk in Vayikra Yurches Yotes says ve'el isha benidas tumasa. And to a woman, benidas tumasa, you can't come close to reveal her erva or nakedness. What should the pasuk have written? The pasuk could have simply said, ulinida lo sikrav. What is ve'el isha? What's the words? What are the words ve'el isha come to include? So it comes to include a situation of what? I'll call Isha v'Isha. For each and every woman, each l'chayev, I'll call Isha v'Isha, to tell you that you're chayev for each woman a separate korban by herself. So now, by the way, to make sure we get the flow of the Gemara, but the way it's working is, we have a pasuk, and we say, how do you learn this halacha from this pasuk? How does the other side learn this halacha from a different pasuk? So how does the first side, what does the first side do with that pasuk? Tell you another halacha. So how does the other side learn that halacha from a different pasuk? We're going to go back and forth. So it's a little technical now. So now we're at the stage where the Rabbi Yitzchak has a pasuk to tell you that for each separate woman, it's a separate korban. So now...
That's a different lachalik. That's a chilek in gufos. It's right. Not a chilek in lavim.
That is a chalek in...
In gufos. In other words, the same Easter, but with different women, you're chayiv multiple korbanos.
Right.
It's not the same as the different Easter with different people, that you're chayiv separate korbanos.
So
gufim or mechalek, that's one thing. Isurim or mechalek is another thing.
Right. Okay. Right. You're right. The Gemara is going to get to that in a bit, at Marty. Right. But right now, the assumption of the Gemara, is that if you there's no difference whether it's different isurim, the same isurim. Right. That we're going to get. That's what the Gemara is going to say. But right now, the assumption is. The assumption is that if you do multiple sins in one act of forgetfulness, presumably multiple women, right? Mm-hmm. You're chayev. It would seem that the rabbanon learned it from this achoso to tell you that if you did multiple sins, we learned the same thing from the word achoso. So the Gemara is going to say, "Rabbanon nami tipuk leviha." Let the rabbanon learn that if you have different multiple women, you're chayev for each one. Learn it from here. So where it says, Irachinami, yeah, we do learn it from here. El Akaris Dachoso Labali. What's the Karis of Achoso coming to tell you? Again, Lechaivo, so this is after your point, Marty. Lechaivo al Achoso val Achos Aviv val Achos Ibo. So step one, you're going to say that no, maybe it's to tell you that you're liable if one has relations with his sister and his aunt. From his father's side and his aunt from his mother's side. The Gemara says, "Wait, pshit, that's obvious. Gufin muklakim, gufin muklakim, harishemus muklakim. They're different women and different prohibitions." So Ella, the Gemara says, "What does the word achoso? Remember, we have this extra limit of achoso. What does it come to teach you?" So Gemara says, "Lechayvo al achoso shehi achos aviv shehi achos ibo." So this is a strange case where someone had relations, with his sister, who also happens to be the sister of his father, who also happens to be the sister of his mother. This is what the rabbis were doing in their base medrash. Okay, so there's a thinking of what they're saying is that you're the truth. There are other possibilities as well, but we're talking about a situation of achosu. In other words, what Marty was saying before is that the word val isha benidas tumasa, that pasuk tells you that if you have gufin muchlakim. Separate women. Someone has relations with separate women. You're chayav for each woman. What if you have relations with one woman, but you have separate prohibitions with the same woman? In other words, let's say, right? It said you're not allowed to have relations with your sister, your aunt from your mother's side, your aunt from your father's side. Let's say you have relations with your sister, and she also happens to be your aunt from your mother's side and your father's side. So from the word achoso, the rabbanon say we learn. Like, even though it's one woman, you'd be chayev to bring three korbanos, because three separate isurim. And the Gemara says, wait a second, what's the case where one sister is also there, and from the mother's side, and their father's side? So the answer is, what do you mean? Berisha, berashia bar rashia. Where a wicked person, the son of a wicked person. So what's the case? So let's say someone had relations with his mother, and then through this union, she gave birth to two daughters, okay? So these two daughters are both his daughter and his sister, right? Right. He had relations with his mother, and they had a child. He had two daughters. So these two daughters are both his sister, and so we'll call them. I don't want to call them Rachel. We'll call them Girl A and Girl B. Okay. So he has relations with his mother, and he has Girl A and Girl B. And then what happens? And then after that, he had relations with girl A, who's both his sister and his daughter, right? And then they have a child, okay? And then, they have a son. They have a son. And that son has relations with girl B, okay? So this girl B, on the one hand, it's a sister. Because why? Because they have the same father. On the other hand, it's also an aunt from the mother's side and the aunt from the father's side. Because it's an aunt on the father's side, because she and the father were born from the same mother, and the same thing from the also an aunt from the mother's side as well. So whatever. This is a situation. The point of this is, the Gemara points out that we have two psukim. One pasuk says, with multiple women, you're liable for multiple karbanos. And the other pasuk tells you that for a single woman, who there might be multiple arayos, multiple prohibitions, so then, an easier case would probably be, let's say, a sister who's also a nida, right? That's probably more common, I would say. So, what?
I'm not sure if it's chal with nida. Right?
You say that might not apply to nida. Why? You say because nida generally is a separate category. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, I seem to remember that from somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. Okay, no. So the point is that even if you have one woman and multiple prohibitions, so that would be multiple karbanos. Now, the Gemara, now what does the Gemara have to do? The Gemara has to figure out where does Rabbi Yitzchak learn this halacha from, right? You got to find where Rabbi Yitzchak learned this halacha from. So Rabbi Yitzchak, from where does Rabbi Yitzchak learn this halacha? So Nafgalei Mikal V'Chomer. He wants to learn this from a Kal V'Chomer. Okay? So first of all, this is interesting unto its own right, because normally speaking, we say, Ein Onchin Min Adin. We can't learn from a Kal V'Chomer. At this stage of the game, it seems that everyone holds that we cannot learn from a Kal V'Chomer, but maybe we can learn from a Kal V'Chomer just to tell you that it has multiple lavim, in other words, for one sin. In other words, maybe you can't learn from a Kal V'Chomer to tell you that you get punished, but maybe it can tell you that once you're getting punished, that you get multiple lavim, multiple malkios.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Said Ben Sora Moreh never had or would have had. Can you imagine a scenario we just described with these children and ants and everything else?
So, can I imagine it? I don't know. There are people who, right, in other words, can people engage?
The Sarah Murray never happened.
I understand.
This is heard from the Sarah Murray.
Yeah, yeah. You read stories every once in a while, maybe not in the Jewish community, but you read stories once in a while about, I'm sure someone's Googling this right now, someone had relations with a sister or an aunt or whatever, whatever. Okay.
Nine months in West Virginia, I heard a lot of stories.
So in any case, we learned in a Mishnah. Abba Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yoshua beitlis shel emaum." So Rabbi Akiva said, "I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. They were in the marketplace of emaum, the city. They were going shopping." And he asked him the following question: Why were they shopping? Shaholchu likach behema lemishta. They were going to buy a domesticated animal, like an animal for a suda of a chasna, a wedding of bino shel Rabbi Gamliel. They were going to buy meat. They were going wedding shopping, okay, for meat. And Rabbi Akiva said, I was asking Rabbi Gamliel Yeshua this question while they were going shopping for this wedding feast of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, by the way, Tosus and Croesus says, like, why is Rabbi Akiva saying that, I was asking them while they're going shopping for the wedding feast, right? So what's the point? The point is that even though they were burdened and they were going shopping, what? They're still involved in Torah. it reminds me of, like, you know, sometimes you see, you know, like at a lot of these weddings, where, you know, people, the great rabbis, you know, who don't waste any time, they're always learning. You know, some people are schmoozing, and, you know, they're always learning, or they're always answering shilas, no matter where it is, they're learning the daf, whatever it is, you know, like, so that, I think that's like a nice Musar idea, that the Tosus points out, that even when they're doing other things, they're busy doing other things, they have time for a shot, always time to learn. In any case, so what was the question? Haba al achosa shehi achos aviv shehi achos ibo bahu. Okay, he asks this very question. Someone has relations with a sister that's also the sister of the father and also the sister of the mother. In what act of forgetfulness? His point is they do three surim with one person. What's the halacha? Eino chayv al kulam ela achas. Oh, chayv al kul achas v'achas. Are they liable for one korban, or are they liable for one korban for each prohibition? Amru lo, Rabbi Yeshua respond to Rabbi Akiva. Zulo shemano, we didn't hear this halacha. Avol shemano, but we did hear the following halacha. Haba chavish dashim didos behalam echad shechayev al kol achas v'achas. If someone has relations with five women who are all nidos, and he has relations in one act of forgetfulness, then you're liable for each person. V'nirin devari mikal v'chomer. And it seems that the question you asked us, we didn't hear it directly, but it would seem that we can learn from a logical inference the following: Umanida shehi shem echad chayav kol achas v'achas. With a woman, Anida, that this guy only violated one prohibition. Yeah, he did it with five women, but he violated one prohibition. Sort of like lahavdil, you know, like, let's say you have a non-kosher food, or I don't think you don't get karis for that, but you don't get malchus for that. There's no, I'm sorry, you get malchus. So let's say you have you have non-kosher food or forbidden fats. Like, so what's the difference? You have one kazayas, so you have like a whole sandwich. So like, you're okay, you're having a little bit more, but at the same time, it's one prohibition. So the argument is by nida, which is one prohibition, and yet you're chayev for each woman. Kan sheshlosh shemos lo kol shekein. Here with three different lavim, three different prohibitions, certainly you should be chayev for three chatos. Now we see this. Not you wouldn't necessarily make that logical inference, right? They're making that. Now, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua believe that five women, but the same prohibition. If you're going to say you're liable five punishments, kal vachomer, three separate prohibitions, even with one woman, you would kal vachomer, certainly you'd be chayav for three prohibitions.
But it's a different number of occurrences. With the one woman, it's correct. One occurrence.
Correct. And also one person, and also one person, right? And that's the response.
Multiple occurrences.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. I agree with you. We're going to see that's apparently they feel that's stronger than the other thing. But you can make that rejection. You can make the response. Exactly how they're going to respond. Yeah, Brad, you had a question or someone else?
Yeah, the same issue came up in today's daf, right? If you're machal al Shabbos,
right.
Every single Shabbos, right? So let's say a guy is machal al Shabbos, right, for 80 years of his life,
right?
Does he have to bring, you know, 80 times 50 Shabbos every year? Does he have to bring 4,000?
That's a good point.
Just
so,
one?
Right. So in other words, by Shabbos. So the truth is, the Gemara makes an assumption by Shabbos. If let's say you didn't know that it was Shabbos, you forgot that it was Shabbos, and then you violate the next Shabbos. The only reason why you bring multiple karbanos is because the Gemara says it's impossible that you didn't realize from week to week that you made a mistake. So that would seem to indicate that if you didn't realize that, you would only be chayav one because it was one prohibition, one Shabbos. But Ve'idach, the Rabbanon, did someone else have a question? Or should we go on? So the Ve'idach, the Rabbanon, would respond. They would say, no, Kavachor Prichahu, you can respond. And this is what Noah wanted to say. Right? Malanida, she can't goof in Muchlakim. Right? That's different. Nida, there are multiple women. So that's what you have five chatals. But here, it's only one woman. Okay? Ula'idach Nami, Hai Vada Kavachor Prichahu. And also, As the Gemara would say, that also Rav Yitzchak could give that kind of response. So this is not, so in other words, we're rejecting, so we initially want to say that, let's go back for a second, just quick review. We wanted to say, right, we want to know, what does the extra word achosel come to tell you? So Rabbi Yitzchak initially said it comes to tell you that you get kares and not malchus. The Rabbanon say that it comes to tell you, a totally separate halacha, that if multiple women, I'm sorry, with one woman and multiple prohibitions, then you're chayav, you're liable for multiple karbanos. And then Rabbi Yitzchak wanted to prove it from the story, but then we said that's not a good story. So we're still left with the question of how does Rabbi Yitzchak know that you are liable, that you're liable for multiple prohibitions with one person? So Elanath Galay, he learns it from Me'achoso de Seifa, from the Achoso of the end, because the end of the Pasuk in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yed Zayin, in the Pasuk which says, with the Pasuk that says that for your sister you get Kares, then it finishes off by saying, Ervas Achoso Gila Avoro Yisa. So that phrase of our Ervas Achoso Gila, this is an extra phrase, and that's where it tells you that you bring multiple Korbanos Chatos for multiple Lavim with one person. So now what do we have to ask? What does Rather Rabbanon do with this extra phrase? Ve'idach, and the Rabbanon who learned this from the beginning of the Pasuk, what do they learn from this Achoso? Achoso the Seifa Lavali. What do we learn this Achoso of the latter part? L'chaivo al Achoso bas aviv ubas ibo. Lobar she'ed ochid bid hadid. Okay? So you learn that what? See, this the Torah says that if someone has relations with his half-sister from his father's side, or he has relations with his half-sister from his mother's side, the Torah is explicit that you're chayv karis. But the Torah is not explicit when it comes to a full sister. Okay? So you're going to say, well, obviously, if you're liable for kares for a half-sister, obviously you're liable for kares for a full sister. But there's a principle of eid ochid bidadid. We do not learn that you can get punishments based on a kav v'chomer. The only time that you can get a punishment in the Torah, like a court, you know, a court punishment, or even a kares punishment, only time you get a punishment is in a situation where the Torah is explicit. We don't apply kal v'chomer. One of the reasons that's brought down in general as a hard and fast rule is because since kal v'chomer is based on human logic, so human logic could be mistaken, and therefore, it's one of the reasons given by the Rishonim, that since human logic can be mistaken, and therefore, we don't want to, therefore the Torah said that, no, it has to be explicit. So therefore, that achoso, the Rabbanon say that achoso of the Seifa doesn't teach you that doesn't teach you that multiple lavim, multiple prohibitions in one person, you're chayav multiple chataos. That comes to teach you that a full sister you would get kares for. Why? Because eid ochid bid hadid. Okay, so now Rabbi Yitzchak, what must he hold? So the Idach and Rabbi Yitzchak, how does he learn? From where does he learn that you're liable for a sister who is a full sister, right? So the Gemara says two possibilities: Ibois Eba Gabar Odesh Beazhara. So maybe you'll say, if you wish, I'll say that you learned the Odesh from the Azhara. Okay, we're going to learn Rashi and how Rashi understands this and how Tosfos understands this. If you look at the last Rashi, Gabar Odesh Be'azhara, Dile'idyan Azhara Ksiv, that when it comes to the warning, remember, when it comes to a punishment of Kares, you need both a Lav and a Kares, an Onesh. Torah, whenever the Torah is going to tell you that you get Kares, it has to have a warning and also the punishment. So one place the Torah says, don't do this, and Torah also says, if you do this, you get kares. Okay? So the Le'iyad Azhara Ksiv Achoscha Hi Yesera Lahazir Alachosu Bas Aviru Bas Ibo Shedebar Ervas Bas Eishes Avicha Boledes Avicha Achoscha Hi. So the Torah says explicitly, there are six different pieces here. The Torah says explicitly, you can't have relations with your half-sister from your mother's side. And the Torah says explicitly, you can't have relations with your half-sister from your father's side. And the Torah says that if you have relations with your half-sister from your father's side, you get karis. And the Torah says, if you have relations with your half-sister from your mother's side, you get karis. So for those two things, for your half-sister on either side, the Torah is very explicit. You can't do it. And what? And you get karis. Now the Torah, there's an extra phrase of, what does it say? There's an extra azhar. It says achoscha hi. There's an extra phrase of achoscha when it tells you not to do it. And so that comes to include even your full sister. Okay? So now we have five out of the six pieces. We have a teaching to tell you not with your half-sister your mother's side, not with your half-sister your father's side, and not with your full sister. And we have punishment for your half-sister and punishment on in your mother's side and punishment for your half-sister and your father's side. We're still missing that sixth piece to tell you that you get punished for your full sister. So here, so now the Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Uma azhara lo chilek bein achoso bas aviv shelo bas imo, ubas imo shelo bas aviv. That just like when it comes to the warning, the Torah doesn't distinguish between a half-sister, ula achoso shehi bas aviv bas imo, or a full sister, af ba'onesh, Anash alachoso bas aviv imo ke achoso de bas aviv shelo bas imo ubas imo shelo bas aviv. So he wants to say that because in the warning we say, normally speaking, ein onchin min adin, that we can't learn from a half sister that you get punished to a full sister that you get punished. But since in the case of the warning, The Torah said that just like the half-sister, you can't do it, so to the full-sister, you can't do it. So too, in the case of the Onesh, it doesn't make a distinction between a half-sister and a full-sister. So that we are willing to do according to Rabbi Yitzchak. And Tosus just points out that, without reading it inside, but Tosus just points out that Rabbi Yitzchak in Krisus, he actually holds Onchin Min Hadin. So the question is, like, what does he hold? And therefore, what Tosus ends up saying is that you actually need both Onchin Min Hadin and Gomar Onesh Min Azhara. In other words, he's more strict than Rashi. In other words, according to Tosfos, that the only reason why you can learn Onesh for Azhara is because it's a Kavachomer from the half-sister to the full-sister. In other words, you need two pieces here, according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, Rashi is saying that since in the case of the warding, the lav, in the Torah, there's no difference between a half-sister and a full-sister. So too, in the case of the punishment, there's no difference between the half-sister and the full-sister. According to Tosfos, no. The only reason why you can learn the Onesh from the warning is because the Onesh is a Kavachomer. In other words, I would say that the difference between Rashi and Tosfos would be the following case. Let's say in the warning, it would have said, don't have relations with your half-sister and don't have relations with your full-sister. And then in the kares, it would say, if you have relations with your full-sister, you would get kares. So according to Tosfos, according to Rashi, presumably, you might get kares. Because just like there's no difference between the half-sister and the full-sister when it comes to the lav, the prohibition, so too, when it comes to the punishment, there'd be no difference between the full-sister and the half-sister. According to Tosfos, in that case, you would not get kares. Why? because it's true in the lav, it says the lav would apply to the half sister, the full sister. But if the Torah was explicit, say with the full sister you get kares, you can't learn that in the half sister you get kares because
there's no kavachomer.
You would need both pieces according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, you would only need one piece. Okay, that's a little bit technical there. Okay, so that's why Rabbi Yitzchak would argue. That's why Rabbi Yitzchak would argue with the Rabbanon / Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Ebois Eba, or maybe I'll explain to you another reason where how we learn that a full sister gets kares. May achoso dereisha. So apparently in the beginning of the pasuk it says, ve'ish asheyikach es achoso bas aviru bas ibo. The beginning of the pasuk it says that a man who takes his sister, who is the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother. The Torah could have simply said, ki yikach es aviv, es bas aviv, o es bas ibo. It didn't have to say achoso. What does it say? Someone who takes his sister, who's the daughter of his father, daughter of his mother. It could have been said, if someone takes the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother, that obviously means his sister. So the word achoso is extra. So maybe that comes to tell you even a full sister. So now we have to ask a question. According to that, what would the Rabbanan hold like? The Idach. Right now we're at the top, right? We're at the top of Yudalmi Beis. The Idach. And what would the Rabbanan, what do they learn from this extra word of Achoso? So Ahubi Baile, this extra word comes to tell you something entirely different. Lechalek Kores Lamefatem Vilasach. It's to tell you that you get you get kares if you make the Shemen HaMishcha, right? The Shemen HaMishcha is the oil which was used to anoint the Kohen Gadol, right? So let's say you say, I got the recipe. I want to make this oil, and I want to smear it on myself because it's I want to feel good. So there is a punishment of kares. This is a very serious thing. It's a very serious ritual, right? In other words, there are certain types that I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago. When we started talking about the cases of kares. You have some cases of kares deal with arayos. A lot of cases deal with arayos, forbidden relationships, and some of them deal with ritual issues, right? And some of them deal. And some of them deal perhaps with like very serious time issues like Yom Kippur and Chametz on Pesach. So making the Shemen HaMishcha and also smearing on yourself, that's a very serious ritual prohibition. So you would actually get two korbanos. Why would you think that you would not get two korbanos? So the Torah says that, what does the Torah say? The Torah says, Ish asher Yirkach kamohu, ve'ish v'asher yitein mimenu alzar v'nichras me'amov. So there, the Torah says, the Torah mentions both prohibitions, but it only mentions the word kares once. Torah says, if the person who makes this Shemen HaMishcha, and if he smears it on someone who's not the Kohen Gadol, you get kares. So you might have argued that what? If you did both of them, you only chayav one kares, meaning if you did it unintentionally, you only chayav one korban. So therefore, we have this extra word achoso. Now that's a little strange, right? What does achoso have to do with making oil? It has nothing to do with making oil. So the point is that there's a concept called im eno inyan teneo le inyan acher. That sometimes if there's an extra word or an extra phrase in the Torah, so we try to, teach you something extra about that particular topic, right? But if there's nothing to learn from that topic, and that word is still extra, then we will use that word to teach you another halacha about something similar. So how is this making the oil, Shemen HaMishcha, at all similar to arayos? It's similar in that both are chayav kares, and this is a situation where perhaps one would have likely thought that you're only chayav one liability of kares, but in reality you have two. Which of the case of chayuve kares would you have, what is most likely that you would have thought that you only get one, but in reality it's two? It's this, because this is an example where it mentions both prohibitions, but only one word of kares. So that's how this works. So this procedure, this technical procedure of im ein inyan lezeh, tnei inyan lezeh. If the extra word doesn't belong, teach you something about this topic, teach you about another topic. So it's not similar in terms of the content, but in terms of the punishment and the way it's written, it's the most similar. So that's how the Rabbanan learned that halacha. So now we have to figure out what. V'idach. So what about Rabbi Yitzchak? How does Rabbi Yitzchak know that if you make the Shemen HaMishcha and then you smear it on yourself, so that you are subject to two karbanos, you have to make two karbanos. So he says, Sava Rabbi Elazar, Abba Rav Hoshaya. He holds like Rav Elazar, who said the name of Rav Hoshaya. The Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Shaya. The Rav Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Hoshaya, Kobakob Shata Motze Shnei Lavim Makaris Echad Chalukim Heim LaKarban. So he says, you don't need a drasha. My methodology, when I interpret the Torah, is that I don't need the Torah to say you get kares. You know that for each that let's say for each kares you need a separate word to say v'nichrasu or v'nichras. I don't need it. If the Torah says, with respect to two prohibitions, it lists them separately, and then afterwards it says one kares, right? That where you find two lav in one kares, that means you would bring two different karbanos. So you don't need that extra limud, extra word to teach you that halacha. I know that because that's how I interpret the Torah in general. So that's one way of how Rav Yitzchak would learn that. The bais ema, or maybe I'll give you a different answer. Lo sar lo k'rav Elazar. He doesn't look like Rav Elazar. V'nafkalei, and he learns this multiple korbanos chatos from min v'ish asher yishkav es isha dava. So there it says v'nichrasu. So what's isha dava? Isha dava means that a woman who became tamea, she became richly impure because she was a nida. That there the kares in this pasuk is extra. Why? Because already in Parshas Achrei Mos, the Torah already said that you get kares, and yet here it says v'isha yishkav v'isha dava v'nichrasu. So what does that come to tell you? So it comes l'chalek. It comes to tell you that you get one for each type of kares. But we already know that when it comes to for arayos. So therefore, it must come to teach you to in other situations in general. When there are two lav in one kares, that you would get multiple karbanos. So now,
why use dava instead of nida?
Why did it say dava?
Is there a difference?
I think dava implies like she became tame. I think, I'm not sure. I think it's like a verb where she say Isha Nida, I think a woman who is a Nida. I think Dava means, I might be wrong about this, but I think Dava means that she became, it's a verb, she became Tame with Tumas Nida. As opposed to Isha, you know, then maybe there's a separate question, which is why is it used that formulation? I'm not sure. So now the Gemara asks the Idach. Now, what did the Rabbanan learn from this extra kares that's said by this Isha Dava? So Hahu mi Baylei. He needed for the following halacha. Lich de Rabbi Yochanan, for that which Rabbi Yochanan says. Then what did he say? The Amar. We're going to see. Rabbi Yochanan said. Actually addresses your issue, Artie. We're going to see. Because this is why I said the word dava, maybe. The Amar V'yocha, Mishim Rabbi Shimon B'yochai, Minayin she'en ha'isha tamea ad she'yetze madve derech ervasa. So maybe you say the dava, that the flow, that how do you know that the woman is not tamea, unless it flows vaginally, as opposed to, I guess, I don't know, through her stomach. I don't know how else it would come, but whatever. It has to come out vaginally by the rechem, by the makom mervasa, and not from her stomach. And let's say, I don't know, let's say, for example, she has an operation, and then blood comes out from her stomach. Okay? Shenemar, v'ish asher yishkav es isha dava, v'gila eser vasa. So the word dava means melamer she'ena isha t'me ad she'etze madve derech ervasa. So I think that's the lashon, that's madve. So that's the word dava, where it flows out by way of her beis harechem, by the rechem, and not from her stomach. So that's how the Rabbanan learned that halacha. I guess the Gemara does not say the Ritva says, the Gemara can continue and say, well, what did Rav Yitzchak do about that? So the Ritva writes, the Rav Yitzchak argues on this halacha, and he holds that a woman who's tmeya is tmeya even if the dam doesn't go out vaginally. If it comes from her, comes from there, but it doesn't go out through that, through the vaginal canal, then she would still be a nida. So just to summarize, because right, we have so many different psukim, and where they learn what for what. So just sort of just to summarize, according to the Rabbanan, they learn the fact that you get multiple. They said that you get multiple arayos, you get multiple karbados, right, for multiple arayos from the El Isha. What does the word kares bachosel come to tell you? That tells you that you get, right, the kares bachosel tells you that you get multiple lashes with one, through one goof. So the achoso of the seifa, the end of the pasuk, tells you that multiple prohibitions with one woman, then you get multiple lavim and multiple korbanos. The achoso of the first part of the pasuk tells you that there are multiple chatos for mefatein v'sach. If you make the shemen mishkan, you smear it on, and the extra kares, that says by isha dava, tells you that a woman is not tamea until the blood comes out vaginally. So that's how Rabbanan understand all these different psukim. And according to Rabbi Yitzchak, kares bachosel comes to tell you, that was the original point, that you only get kares and not malchus. The distinction of arayos, the chiluk barayos, you get multiple karbanos for multiple prohibition, is from the El Isha. The achoso of the end of the pasuk tells you that if it's one woman and multiple prohibitions, then you get multiple korbanos, multiple lavim. And achoso bas avivu bas imo, you learn from the azhara, the warning, or you learn it from the achoso of the beginning of the pasuk. And according to that, mefate mensach, that you learn, you don't need a pasuk, because maybe you learn like Rabbi Elazar, or you learn from Isha Dava. Okay, so again, we see again. It's hard to remember all this, but we see how the different Tanaim understand the give and take of the Gemara. How they understand that they very rarely argue many points, but they may learn it from different psukim. Again, what we see also is, want to point out that a lot of these things, we think, oh, well, there's a Mesorah, how to interpret. What's the Mesorah, the tradition of. You'll very often have a Mesorah, a tradition about a halacha, but you don't have a Mesorah tradition about the source. And this, what we learn in this Amud is a great example of that. Everything's passed down, Rebbe to Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud, right? And we see this is an example where they're not arguing a lot. They're very, very small argument, a little argument here, a little argument there. They agree on most things, because there's a Mesorah, there's a tradition about most halachos. But the argument, but there's not always, sometimes you have a Mesorah about what a pasuk means, but very often you're only going to have a Mesorah, a tradition about what the halacha is. We know the halacha is X. What's the source? The Gemara asks, what's the source of this? And there you can have the debate, right? And there the Gemara is trying to fit in this word means this, and that word means that, and that they're trying to see what are all the different words out there. What are all the different? Let's use our biblical, methodological interpretive skills. Let's look at these extra words and let's try to figure out what it is. And there are multiple possibilities, and that's what the Gemara did. So it's a very important point to understand this. We talk about Mesora. There's not always Mesora about the Psukim. It's only Mesora about the Halacha.
But sometimes the argument.